Reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our third gospel text is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? We observed a star as it was rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. Then they saw that the star had stopped, and they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Would you all pray with me? Holy God, in this season of hope and anticipation, we come to you at this late hour, searching the stories we have been told time and time again, for a fresh light, an inescapable hope, so that as tomorrow begins, we might continue to notice the goodness and mercy that is promised to change this world. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So that whether it's because of me or even in spite of me, it would still be your word faithfully proclaimed and your light acknowledged. Through Christ. Amen. So we've been waiting for this day since Thanksgiving, at least. Some of us, maybe since Halloween. I know most of the stores have been prepared since Halloween for this day. This is the day that we hope for, the day we plan for, the day that we set apart as for celebration and for times of fellowship. You know, when I was growing up, I used to spend the whole month between Thanksgiving and Christmas trying to figure out what presents were coming my way. I actually got to be very good at finding my parents' hiding spaces for my gifts. So I found them in my dad's closet on a top shelf, and then I found them in the attic of my house. And then I found that there's actually a hidden closet in the attic. And I found the presents almost every year. So my mom learned pretty quickly that she needed just to wrap the gifts as soon as they were in the house. Otherwise, I'd find out what they were going to be, and I would ruin the surprise of Christmas. So when she started that habit, when she started wrapping them in the first few weeks of Christmas and putting them under the tree, I started my own new habit. I would stop at the Christmas tree, sometimes multiple times a day, to pick those gifts up and shake them and feel their weight and try to listen for sounds in the boxes that might give away what it was that I was waiting for. Don't get me wrong, I like surprises. But I really like surprises that come immediately. I'm not really great about waiting to be surprised. That level and that kind of curious anticipation is really just frustrating for me. When I know that there's a gift that's already within grasp, I don't know what it is, all I want to do is open the gift. I want to know what I've been waiting for. Even when I used to find all my gifts hidden and unwrapped, and I knew everything that I was getting, I was still always excited about the presents. I just wanted to know what they were. I just wanted to know what I was waiting for. I just wanted to know what I should be expecting and hoping for. So my Advent was always a little bit different. I generally knew what I was waiting for on Christmas morning. I wasn't hoping for something that might come. I was expecting something. And that changed things slightly for me. In some ways, this is really the way that we celebrate Christmas in our lives of faith. We have seen this gift before. We know exactly what the Christmas gift is. We've seen the nativities. We've heard the stories. And then we come back every year to see them and hear them again. Because there's something universally significant about this incredible and familiar story. Even though we've seen the same gift every year, for some of us as many years as we have been alive, we still come back to churches like this one, even after I'm usually in bed, to hear the story one more time. Because it matters. For some of us in the room, it might not even necessarily be clear why being here on Christmas Eve matters. It's just a habit. It's what you do. Before you can open any presents under a tree, you feel a tug to be in a church, to light a candle next to family and strangers alike, and to sing about a silent night that existed 2,000 years ago. The message isn't a new one. It isn't something unexpected. It may even really be the only regular and consistent thing that we do every year. We celebrate of the one child who brings hope into our world. We do it every year because it is just that significant. We celebrate a child born to a working class couple in a city that was so overcrowded that they couldn't find any housing and so poorly equipped that this baby was born without the attention of medical staff or midwives at their side. We celebrate a child born in the kind of political climate that put him at enough risk that his parents had to seek asylum in a neighboring nation just after the Magi leave their home. We celebrate this story. And when we just read the details without the presence of God imbued within it, it's not really even necessarily a hopeful one. A child born into that kind of situation in today's climate would be stereotyped and pushed to the margins of society. His family would have been avoided, overlooked, and potentially even outcast. But the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus' birth, is hopeful because we see it as something bigger even than that. We tell the story because it points towards a radical upending of that narrative. The birth of Jesus in a stable to an outcast teenager and her new husband who have been forced to flee their home during political unrest is so significant because that changes everything. Because God shows up in that story. We have a bad habit, I think. Even today, after retelling the Christmas narrative over and over again for thousands of years, we still, for some reason, tend to associate God with power, prestige, and success. But the Christmas story we hear every year is so different from that. Our God is a God who meets us in the dirt of ordinary life. Our God is a God who is found on the outskirts of town under the watchful eyes of both a heavenly host of angels and a group of misfit and uncultured shepherds. Our God meets us where we are in the messy place between sacredness and profanity, including both of these in the beautiful narrative of redemption. The infant child who is helpless, reliant entirely upon others for basic sustenance, and in danger from the moment of his birth, is also the incarnate presence of our God. Scripture calls Most High, infinite in power, universal in scope, and immense in glory. God is both of these things. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate a God who is intimate with us, loving of us, reliant on us, but also transcendent, universal, and the one upon whom we rely for our own sustenance and life. And so we wait. We wait every year for the same thing. It isn't something new. We wait for the presence of God that accompanies us in the pain of life. We wait for the reminder that we are not alone in this life. We wait with hope for light that casts out darkness and shadows. We wait with anticipation for the reminder that goodness will inevitably triumph over evil. We gather to hear the same story every year because we need to be reminded that there is a light emerging in the darkness. We need to be reminded of this kind of peace and resilience emerging in a time of chaos that this world experiences now. We need to be reminded of a simple joy That's finding just a small foothold in a weary and burdened world. And we need to be reminded that Jesus, the Son of God and the incarnation of God in this world, who will reign over the kingdom of heaven, was and is an infant child. I really do love knowing what my gifts are ahead of time. It actually makes me more excited for them. I like to know what to hope for. I like to imagine what I can do when I have them in my hands. I like to know what to expect. And I really think that's one of the reasons I love Christmas so much. I know what the gift is. It's eternal life alongside a God who experiences everything that life has alongside me. It's a beautiful reminder that goodness and mercy are slowly reshaping the world. It's a sacred moment of peace and joy in the midst of chaos and in the company of angels and outcasts together, singing side by side with one another. It's a good gift that I look forward to opening every year alongside each and every one of you, because the truth is, light is coming. And even more than that, we're invited to carry that light with us as it emerges, casting out darkness and shining for all to see. Thanks be to God. Amen.